of being able to look down, or the advantage of being able to look up from like a lower position, which is like for him it's like inherently qualitative, and the advantage of like being able to be qualitative as opposed to this sort of objective like hovering God figure sort of historical.
Well, this is, you could look at that historically, because we have the same history is 2020, like historical vision looking
right.
back.
Which but it's I think totally, is bullshit. It's totally, yeah, it's totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
No, it's extremely selective, yeah.
But, well, and I think when you're in it, you see things that you can't see from outside it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. It's definitely inter-reflexive. I wasn't trying to point history out as like this. Yeah, I was trying to dismantle that.
Yeah.
But the thing that interests me is like, it's this ability through like qualitative practice that is like inherently positive and it's extremely forceful. And I don't have any other words to describe it, but this is my mindset.
I like inherently positive the last part you said. I think if we were talking a little bit about our world, how we sort of fit into the machine as the professors or art education in general. I think like every person, variations that Joe, Chris, me, you, showed up here. I mean, I kind of think the people that learn how to be an artist from have taught me something about like a flexible mind. An open mind towards art and art making—that's the most valuable for me. I mean, that's the thing that I you can work with that. Like you're saying about the network holes, and that is the network holes.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, look at the people I hang around with. Look at the lifestyle. We talk about literature. We talk about films. Where we feed ourselves with all this interesting stuff. And the people I prefer to hang out with.
Yeah, that's one way to guarantee you won't be a good artist is by not having an open mind. That's
it's
the
a shorter
one thing.
Life, it turns out, too, just in terms of health. And flexible people live longer. Take a nap in the afternoon.
How long do we want to go and before we... I'm just kind of...
That's what I'm just wanted to bring up. I have this, like, I did the first, like, well, not quantity-wise, but section-wise, the first third of my thing. I want to just read through, like, these last two things quickly.
Are you going to practice?
Yes.
We could, I mean, just theoretically... Uh-huh. Are you guys enjoying this kind of? Is this interesting to you guys? Because I'm thinking after we make, maybe this then opens up another panel discussion or just a discussion, and that practice is maybe the next thing we do. We can do it. But
I wouldn't mind talking about it
first.
Just because I just want to, because you know, this was in some sense what I talked about was like all background crap. It's like not what I actually wanted to have a conversation about. You know, that was like preparation. No, let's see what we need to talk about. Because the next thing is like this thing, summer school. What the hell are we doing here? And one of it is an investigation of education, figuring out what works and what doesn't. I mean, the fact that you're here means something sucks about school. Because you came here because you're getting something you're not getting at school. Or you're hoping to. Okay? So this is at least, if nothing else, it's a supplement. It's an addition. Something you see necessary, something filling in a gap, some addition that they're not teaching you. Something like that. You know, thinking about what that is, and we don't, you know, maybe if something pops to mind, you can blurt it out, but you don't, you know, we don't have to go into a big discussion about that, but I want you to think about it, because we should talk about it during this weekend. What do you students and teachers need? What works and what do you need? What doesn't work about summer school, too? Like, this is obviously inadequate, otherwise you'd just come here and you wouldn't go to school. And no one's going to be done that, I assure you. Because if you want to see inadequate, you're looking at it. and again, I think this is also an experiment with boundaries. I mean, this is something I really tried to push in Ireland, like this weird experiment with boundaries. Like, it was a very interesting situation in terms of I had a studio. I was a little separate because I was in the MFA studio when I was there, but I worked in front of you guys, You know, you could come by my studio and talk to me. You could see what I was doing. And I think that Ireland experience is like, wow, that's kind of what school should be. That's really close to what it should be.
Mm-hmm. That's the Cranbrook experience. Because
mm-hmm.
you don't have teachers, you have artists in residence.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like the seminars and the those things too.
Yeah, sure.
But it's like to be there to see people working,
right.
to see what the hell is going on. That's really important. So that was my thing about just summer school and how, you know, just keep in mind, like, oh yeah, I'm here because something's wrong with my education in some sense. I mean, and something is always going to be. You could be going to the best school in the country and there would still be something wrong with your education. And then I wanted to talk about art practice. So to relate to this whole kind of thing together, like I talked about models of art education, there are models of art practice, of how you make work, how you think about how you get up. Like, what are you when you get up in the morning and start to make work? Are you modeling yourself on some kind of economic production or system? Are you modeling yourself on the industrial worker or some kind of industrial production? Are you modeling yourself on the service industry or the information technology? I mean, do you just basically crunch numbers somehow in your art? I mean, because it's really interesting to look at that, obviously. When you look at the recent history of art, you have people who are, you know, you get into this thing like Donald Judd's a classic example, like no longer makes his own work, right? This is a very different way of making work. He does the drawings, gives it to the ventilation company, and they make the work for him, you know? And there are a lot of people who are continuing to push that now in terms of the models. Are you a researcher? Is that your model? Then you have to think about what is art practice's relationship with education and with the economic models that are available to you? What are the implications of having these models? I mean, and they're not necessarily conscious. I don't want to imply that. You basically, again, this is this reproduction thing. Those economic modes are reproducing themselves throughout social life, and they reproduce themselves in your art practice as well. You can think about it as the gallery system is another way of looking at it, the whole kind of art world thing. I mean, we could get into that. What are the implications of having these models? What models can you engage with? What are the possibilities for you? Can you even do a factory model anymore? Is it literally possible? And if it is it relevant? Or can you make it relevant? Is it possible to engage with that model? And then, can you escape these models? Or can you consciously engage these models? Or can you consciously combine and recombine these models? I mean, those are all some like questions to think about. Like where does how I make work come from? That's, I think, an important question. Not just where does your work come from, but where does how you make your work come from? Because that's really important. It's another historical example is, and again, this comes from, I think, the Hoysen article and this idea of the avant-garde and the difference between the early European avant-garde and the post-World War II U.S. avant-garde, or even the post-war European avant-garde, and today you could say that. If you were a surrealist, if we were in a small room in 1930, and we were a bunch of surrealists, and I said, how many of you think that your work is going to overthrow a government or make you live a completely different life? Raise your hand. And if you didn't raise your hand, you'd be shown the door, right? I mean, you're not a fucking revolutionary. You're not going to change everything. You're not going to overthrow, tip stuff over and overthrow the way you live life. Then you don't belong in this room. But if you ask someone, if you go into a class now and say, is your work going to revolutionize life itself? You know, if someone raises their hand, they're either insane or they're joking, you know? But think about those. You get up and you think your work's going to change the world, you're going to make different work than if you get up out of bed and you say, I have a very limited and kind of indirect influence on how life is lived by people, you're going to make another type of work. So that's where these kinds of ideas of models and stuff, I think, are really important to think about. Because they're totally, it's like they affect you unconsciously, but the things that have the biggest effect on you are the things you don't think about. So try to think about everything. Yep, all at once. Okay. Yeah. How many plates can you keep?
So we're gonna make them for a little while.
Let's do this. I think we have to decide this now. Because we want to let you guys do whatever kinds of talking that you want to do. I don't know. Do you want to? Do you want to give a talk, or you want to do a more?
Well, we're gonna do panel. I mean, okay. I know.
Do you want to just do a panel, or do you want to have individual presentation type of things?
I have no opinion. I'm open to it.
Did you have something?
We were walking and talking down the road. Walking.
Okay, we could do that too. And so we have to decide when we're going to do that, when we're going to do more of a panel-y thing,
sure.
And when we're going to do the art-making thing.
And when is Michelle's dinner? We should think about that time,
right.
Period.
That is supposed to start at 5, and I'm sure it won't really get rolling, until 6, 7 o'clock anyway.
Yeah.
So, do you want to eat lunch and then do our art making thing? Or do you want to eat lunch and then take a walk? Or do you want to eat lunch?
As long as we eat lunch.
Right, we're going to eat lunch.
You guys can eat now, and then we'll go make some stuff, and then we'll take a walk around the floor.
That's fine. It might be nice to eat and then go goof around, make stuff together for a while, and get to know each other, and sort of see that. And then
let's do that.
Start for dinner.
And then if something happens tonight, we can always do the kiddo discussion later tonight.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. First thing we should do is take the chairs back to that room because it's part of the project. And I'm going to talk to that guy, but that may